Dear faithful, today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. The banns of marriage are announced for the second time for Thomas Byrne and Genevieve Fonts. Anyone knowing the reason why this couple may not be joined in holy matrimony is obliged to bring it to the attention of one of the priests. This Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday are Ember Days. Wednesday and Saturday are days of fast and partial abstinence. Friday, of course, is a day of fast and complete abstinence. And this means that those who are between the ages of 21 and 59 are bound to fast on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. To fast means that one main meal is permitted and two lighter meals. Of course, no eating between meals. And those who are ages 7 and older are only allowed meat once a day on Wednesday and Saturday. Of course, on Friday, meat is forbidden. The parish volleyball tournament will take place Sunday, September 25th, next Sunday, at 2 p.m. here in Melville. And there is a flyer in the vestibule with more information. The men's retreats are scheduled for October 28th through the 30th and November 4th through the 6th. The deadline for registration is October 1st. And again, flyers are available in the back of the chapel. There will be a conference for high school graduates and adults on Wednesday, September 28th at 7:30 p.m. here at school. This conference will address some of the moral problems that Catholics are facing today, and college students and parents especially are encouraged to attend. And finally, I do ask that if this is your first time here or if you've recently begun to attend the traditional Mass, that you please speak to one of the priests before approaching the communion rail. The epistle for the Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, the 5th and 6th chapters. Brethren, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, and if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every one prove his own work, and so he shall have glory in himself only, and not in another. For every one shall bear his own burden. And let him that is instructed in the word communicate to him that instructeth him in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. For he that soweth in his flesh, of the flesh also shall reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not fail, for in due time we shall reap, not failing. Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there went with him his disciples and a great multitude. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, the dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a great multitude of the city was with her. Whom when the Lord had seen, being moved with mercy towards her, he said to her, "Weep not." And he came near and touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear on them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen up amongst us, and God hath visited his people." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Weep not." These words are taken from the Gospel of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, as I mentioned, today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. And as you know, 3 days ago we celebrated the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I think there's an interesting connection between this Feast of Our Lady and the Gospel which we read for the Mass today. This Gospel is one of the more touching examples of our Lord's compassion for His creatures. It relates that one day as our Lord approached the little village of Nain, He and His disciples met a funeral procession that was leaving the city. And as it is customary now, so it was customary then for friends and family to show their sympathy by following the deceased to his or her final resting place. But on this occasion, St. Luke notes that the group was a large one due to the tragic circumstances of the funeral. The man who had died was still very young. He was the only son of his mother, and she was already a widow. Now she was to grow old alone, with only the memories of the family that might have been. And at the sight of such sorrow, St. Luke says that our Lord was moved with compassion. He approached the grieving mother, said gently to her, "Weep not." It's probable that many people had said those words or similar words to that woman in the course of the day, "Weep not." But the Son of God is the Lord of life and death, and when He said, "Weep not," it was because He knew what He was about to do. Our Savior drew near to the stretcher on which the body lay, and then the people listened in wonder as they heard Christ address the lifeless corpse, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And to their astonishment, the young man did indeed sit up and begin to speak. And St. Luke concludes the narrative, "And Jesus gave him," the young man, "to his mother." You know, you have to think that on this occasion, the event that took place in the Gospel today, our Lord looked a very short time into the future and saw another mother, also a widow, standing beneath a wooden cross on a hill watching her son die. He would be the son and Our Lady would be the mother. And in that moment, there would be nothing He could do to alleviate her suffering. I suppose to some it might be a mystery why we would celebrate the Feast of Our Lady's Sorrows, as though her sorrows were something to be celebrated. Well, the reason that we celebrate the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady is that the suffering of Our Lady were her cooperation in the work of our redemption. St. Albert the Great says that just as we are under great obligation to Jesus Christ for His death, so also are we under a great obligation to Mary for the grief which she endured in offering her Son for our salvation. Our Lady herself lovingly complained to St. Bridget that very few pitied her in her sorrows. She said, most live in complete forgetfulness of what I suffered. Our Lady said to St. Bridget, though many forget me, you, my daughter, do not forget me. And she would say the same thing to us. Of course, the sufferings of Our Lady are really just another aspect of the Passion of Christ. St. Alphonsus says that few love Jesus because few consider adequately what he suffered for love of us. And likewise, too few, even among Catholics, love Mary adequately because few of us consider what she willingly suffered so that we could be saved. Her entire life, she carried sorrow in her heart. Ever since the day she had taken her newly born son to the temple and heard from Simeon that her child was to be the sign of contradiction, she knew what the prophets foretold about the Messiah. She knew he was to be a man of sorrows. His hands and feet would be pierced. He would be bruised for our sins, and he would be scourged to heal our wounds. She carried these thoughts in her heart, and the pain they caused her grew with every moment as the Passion drew near. Parents, imagine if at the birth of your child, God made known to you that your little one was going to be tortured and put to death before your eyes. You don't know when or where this will be, only that it will happen. Do you think you could take joy in seeing your child grow? Do you think you would take any pleasure in seeing your child take his first steps? Or hearing him say his first words? There would be no joy in these things. You would be waiting in suspense for an awful moment that you couldn't avoid. When you held your newborn infant, you would be thinking of how you someday would place his broken body in the tomb. And because you are good parents, you would wish to take that death upon yourself instead. Now imagine that your child was the most lovable, kind-hearted, generous person ever to live. Imagine that you had a heart so pure and so full of affection that you loved this child more than anything, more than your own life. What would it be like to live day by day, waiting for that moment when he would be taken from you? That is the martyrdom that Our Lady endured for 33 years. Of course, when the time finally came for our Lord's passion and death, she was there. She saw the scourging, the crowning with thorns. She met him on the road of Jerusalem, and she stood beneath his cross. When she was there on Calvary, the soldiers were not considerate of her presence. You would think that perhaps they would be moved with compassion at the sight of Our Lady watching her son die, but they weren't. They didn't hesitate to mock him in her presence, to gamble away his garments, and even to run a lance through his sacred heart before her very eyes. And when this had been done, it was left to Mary to take the lifeless body of her son to the cold tomb. She saw the tomb sealed and guarded, and then St. John took her back to Jerusalem, bearing now all seven sores of sorrow in her heart. And so you see, my friends, what a tremendous duty we have to comfort and console our sorrowful mother, because it was our sins that did that to her. If we sin less, she will suffer less. If we offer her the little we can do, little acts of mortification, small prayers, the rosary, if we go out of our way to suffer inconveniences for love of her, we will be making reparation to her immaculate heart, like she asked for at Fatima. We'll be making reparation not only for our sins, but for the sins of an ungrateful world. And most especially, my dear friends, do not forget to think each and every day of her sufferings. As she begged St. Bridget, "Do not forget my sufferings." We should take a few moments each day. St. Alphonsus says we must take a few moments each day to think about some aspect of the Passion of Christ. And what better way to view his passion than by trying to see his sufferings through Our Lady's eyes? These thoughts will give you the strength to avoid sin and to practice mortification and virtue. St. Alphonsus says that there was once a man who loved Our Lady very much, and most especially he loved to think of her suffering in union with our Lord for him. He thought of her pain each day, and he made it his goal to heal her wounded heart by his prayers and penances. And at length, this good man was on his deathbed, and as is not uncommon, the devil attempted to fill him with fear for his own salvation. The man thought of his sins, his unworthiness, the many graces he had perhaps neglected through life. As death approached, he grew more and more terrified, tormented with doubts and scruples, and tempted to despair. And it was in this state that Our Lady herself appeared to him. "My son," she said, "did you think I would not come to comfort you after you have so often comforted me? Did you think your mother was going to abandon you in your sufferings, even though you have always been with me in mine? You have so often pitied me, and now Jesus has sent me to console you. Be comforted then, rejoice, and come with me to heaven." May we someday hear those words too. And may we say to Our Lady, day by day, more so by our actions than by our words, may we say to Our Lady what our Lord said to the widow of Nain: "Weep not." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.